Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Park. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Verses 15 through 22, Exodus chapter 1. And then, skipping to the book of Psalms, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the fact that your word is life, it's light, it's peace, it's power, it's grace. It has so much blessing in it. More and more help us to come to recognize, Lord, that your word is pregnant with the ability to bless us, to empower us, to equip us, to help us to become more and more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for loving us with an everlasting love. Thank you for the gift of eternal life and health and strength. Thank you for the chance to hear from you every day as we open your word and spend time with you one-on-one, reading and meditating on your precious and powerful word. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. He's going to share a word of prayer with us at this time as well.
Father, we thank you for loving us, for stooping down to care for people like us. We thank you for that great price paid, your son dying on the cross for sinners like us. Father, we pray that the broadcast will serve to advance your kingdom, that you will use it in a mighty way to touch hearts, to impact lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. I'm wanting to continue to remind our listeners about an event that's happening a couple days away from now. AFA at Home with Walker Wildman is Thursday, October 8th at 7 p.m. Central. We'd like to invite you to join us for a virtual town hall meeting featuring a conversation about the significant cultural issues in our nation. The election is just a few weeks away, and we as God's people, we need to be informed on the things going on in our culture for our nation and our families. The guests for this event include Tim Barton, the Benham Brothers, Abraham Hamilton III, Richard Land, Star Parker, and Sandy Rios. The topics of discussion include religious liberty, censorship in social media, sanctity of life, judicial branch, socialism, and the threat to America's republic. Pre-register to watch this special event online for free. Again, the event is October 8th at 7 p.m. And to pre-register, visit afa.net. Again, that's afa.net. This is a free online event. It's brought to you by the American Family Association and AFA Action. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to have you listening. I want to remind you, too, we very much desire your prayers. Please pray for the ministry of the American Family Association as a whole, and we appreciate your prayers for this broadcast, The Hour of Intercession, as well. And one of our goals is to help every listener to become the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ that's a vibrant prayer warrior that the Lord is calling you to be. So we very much, again, desire your prayers. We're still reminding you, too, that coming up, Judge Amy Coney Barrett, the confirmation event is scheduled to happen very soon here. Judge Amy Coney Barrett is President Trump's Supreme Court nominee to fill the vacancy on the court left by Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Judge Barrett is scheduled to go before the Senate Judiciary Committee for a hearing during the week of October 12th. This is the same committee Judge Barrett went before in 2017 when her religious faith came under serious attack. And Senator Lindsey Graham, he's the chairman of this committee. We're encouraging you to sign the petition at afa.net urging Senator Graham to immediately rule out of order any attack against Judge Amy Coney Barrett's religious faith. So you can go to this website. The website is afa.net, and we'd encourage you also to pray for this upcoming confirmation hearing as well. We're honored to have as our phone guest today Vivian Phillips. She's the author of the book entitled Revival in the Pews. She is a publisher, and she's a great servant of God amongst the other hats that she wears. Vivian, how are you today?
I am fantastic, Pastor. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Well, honor and a privilege to have you come on, and thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule. I'm going to ask if you'll take time now, if you would, a little bit further introduce yourself before we get into talking about both your book and your journey in the Lord.
Well, you know, there's really nothing I have to say this morning other than what God has miraculously done in my life. I am a full-fledged, spirit-filled believer, and my life has gone through a tremendous process of evolving to draw closer to Him and to be a greater light. And so today I'm just really here to talk about how His grace and mercy met me in places that I was still in darkness as a believer, and He opened the eyes of my understanding.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so a part of what we'll be talking about will involve, of course, the process of discipleship in it, because I think as we get into discussing your book, you'll draw this out much more clearly. But the reality is you can have people that are saved, but they're babes in Christ, and sometimes some believers sadly remain babes for a long, long time and don't grow up, and therefore aren't used to the Lord like they could be, and aren't close to the Lord and listening and following the Lord like they need to as well. So as we look at the topic of your book specifically, Revival in the Pews, can you share with our listeners what prompted you to write this book?
I wrote that book because my baby sister died from complications of diabetes, and she went to church every Sunday looking to get healed, and she wanted to walk in her purpose. And when she had passed away and that didn't happen, it didn't make sense to me. I did not understand why somebody who so desperately wanted to do what God had created them to do didn't do it, and how when the Bible says, by His stripes we are healed, this person died of complications from an illness. And so I set out on a journey over the next 3.5 years to answer that question, because it didn't make sense. And that's how I came up with the book, Revival in the Pews. In that process, what I realized, or I discovered in my research, is that 2.2 billion people on the planet profess to be Christians, and only in 1.7 billion of them have never been discipled. So that's upwards of 80%, and it's probably more like 90%, have never been taught how to be a Christian. So that equates to Matthew 28:19-20 being completely unfulfilled when the Bible says, go and make disciples.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, you touch on something that's, I guess, in many ways, very elementary, but it's so critical to every single believer. It's a huge difference in being a convert, having accepted Christ, which is very important, extremely important. Yet the Lord says, make disciples. And of course, a disciple goes far beyond the bounds of a convert. He's someone who's walking with Christ and maturing in Christ as well. So powerful, powerful point then. So the book is basically about teaching people to become disciple makers. Is that sort of the direction?
Well, the first step is to become a disciple. And then part of that process is understanding that disciples make disciples. Everybody, you know, Jesus had disciples, Paul had disciples, Peter had disciples. We don't often hear the conversation of being a disciple and making disciples. And I think because we are sitting in the midst of COVID, where most of the churches are not operating and people are at home left to themselves, Revival in the Pews is a perfect book for this season because it will give you the tools and the understanding to know exactly what it is you're supposed to be doing.
As in being on the journey of becoming both a disciple yourself, but also being a disciple maker as well. So, well, if someone wants to get the book, how can they get it?
Well, you can go to my website, getdisciplednow.com, and you can order it there. You can order it on at getdisciplednow.com. You can get it there.
Okay. All right. Okay. And so also along with the book today, you were going to share some about the journey, a very powerful and unique journey you had in your walk with the Lord. We'll let you get started, and we're coming up on a break, and we'll pick up on the other side. But if you'll just go ahead and get started to share with our listeners about your journey in the Lord. And I know, like in an article that I had the chance to read, you shared about a pretty horrific, well, just a powerful testimony of how that you found yourself pregnant at a tough time in your life. Can you pick up around that time in your story?
Well, I think what really prompted me to write the article is the disproportionate number of African Americans who are having abortions. And I am an African American woman. I'm also a woman who worked for Planned Parenthood for 4 years as the manager of multicultural affairs. I also have a story of finding myself pregnant, not married, and having an abortion. And so all of those things, for whatever reason, in this hour, the Lord felt compelled for me to give my testimony about how can a Christian be pro-choice. Because I don't think people understand that. There was an article, a statistic that I read at some point that says 67% of people of faith are the ones who are having abortions. So essentially, working at Planned Parenthood and, calling myself a Christian at that time, mediocre at best, there are a lot of people who profess to be Christian who also say they're pro-choice. And so God gave me a tremendous revelation on how is that possible. And so that's really, you know, the conversation. There's just a disproportionate impact of abortion on African Americans, which is why I kind of zero in on them. But the conversation is for anybody who's Christian, having an abortion, had an abortion, or is pro-choice.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a break, and we're going to pick up on the other side with your story. Our phone guest today is Vivian Phillips. She's the author of the book Revival in the Pews. We'll be right back.
Thank you. You speak from heaven, we call it thunder. You are amazing. You smile from heaven, we call it rainbow. You are amazing. And you look from heaven, we call it sunshine. That's amazing. And you made me in your likeness, super amazing.
The music of Danson Oyekan. Amazing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Vivian Phillips. She's the author of the book Revival in the Pews. And Vivian, if we can pick up here, you know, well, just before you come back, I want to mention, you know, we have a project that we've had the privilege of being involved in called the Ten Commandments Project, whereby we try to teach actually children and adults to memorize the Ten Commandments and then to, and also to learn the meaning behind them. And, you know, amongst other things, the Ten Commandments is a wonderful discipleship tool God has given us in His Word. 10 basic guidelines that we're to live by that will help us to live a life that honors and glorifies Him. And of course, I think of as we pick up in your story, just a number of them we can easily be touched on. Again, you found yourself in an abusive relationship, and it said pregnant by an older gentleman. So if you'll just pick up there and share how your journey went.
Well, Pastor Kirkland, when I look back, you know, there are so many things that were wrong that as a Christian, and because we're not discipled, mm-hmm. there's a scripture in the Bible that says there's a way that seems right to man, and that way leads to death. Mm-hmm. When people are not discipled, they don't have the alignment that is necessary as a believer. And so that was really my story. Mm-hmm. I thought I didn't support abortion. But I thought people should have the freedom to make their own decisions. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when I got pregnant, I never imagined I would have an abortion in my life. Mm-hmm. I found myself in a situation and I was not grounded enough in my faith or in the statutes of my faith to understand that having an abortion is inappropriate. Mm-hmm. And so when I said, how can a Christian be pro-choice, that's a revelation God gave me. It is possible for a Christian to be pro-choice when they've not been discipled. Because what happens is you think, well, I think nobody should control your own, nobody should tell you what to do with your body. But as a believer, your body no longer belongs to you. You're a slave to Christ. Mm-hmm. You have given up all your rights, and now you are a steward of the things of the kingdom. You're a steward of righteousness. Mm-hmm. You are a steward in your body, in your words, in your deeds, in your actions, in everything that you do. But because people are undiscipled, they think they can have their personal opinion about what should and should not be. So when,
Vivian,
you know, yes.
I want to ask you to elaborate on something you've just touched on, because actually it's simple, but it's huge what you're talking about. You're dealing with the idea of applying what you learn from God's word. And very simply, we're called as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ to read the word of God and to live it. Yet, sadly, we live in a culture where there are lots of people that will say, well, yes, I'm a Christian. They may go to church on a regular basis, but they may be living lifestyles that totally contradict the wisdom and the counsel of God's word. But in their mind, it's no big deal. In other words, people that feel like it's okay to be involved sexually with someone they're not married to, whereas God's word clearly says you shall not commit adultery. And so God's word teaches that sex is for married, between a married man and woman as husband and wife and nowhere else. However, you can find lots of people that are going to church every Sunday, but they're men and women who are involved with other people they're not married to, but just feel like, oh, hey, that's just the way I live. But they don't connect it to the fact that if we love Jesus, we're supposed to be obeying, reading his word and obeying it as well. Would you elaborate on that?
Pastor Parker, one of the things is you can't obey what you don't know. Mm-hmm. So we have an issue with people not reading the word of God. Mm-hmm. And so because they don't read the word of God, because they're not empowered to read the word of God, because they're not encouraged to read the word of God, they don't understand that it's not appropriate to have sex outside of marriage. Most people who have abortions are not married. Mm-hmm. Most married people do not have abortions. So there you have it. So sin, you know, we don't talk about sin, and we should talk about sin. Sin reaps death.
That's right.
These are the things that I talk about in my book, Revival in the Pews. The Bible does not say go to church. Okay, so what we've done is we've perfected the art of going to church. I call it pew warming. Mm-hmm. We've perfected encouraging people to come and sit on the pews, and they've been doing that very well. Mm-hmm. But now since COVID, they're not sitting on the pews anymore. Mm-hmm. So if they're not sitting on the pews, exactly what are they doing? We have to come up with a strategy to help these people who are at home by themselves, left to their own understanding, how to really engage God so that we can rise up as a nation of people, as a corporate body, to really be the light and the salt in the earth. If we ever needed the light and the salt, we need it now.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. And, you know, along with that, too, is just like a believer who is a member who sits in the pews on Sunday morning, they're to be reading the word and applying it to their lives. But also, not only are lay individuals within the church to live that way, obviously, the leadership of the church is to preach and teach the word of God in such a way where people are learning how to know the word and apply it. Yet, sadly, it's tragic, but you have many preachers and clergy that will say, I'm pro-choice, not realizing that that clearly violates the word of God, because God's word tells us you shall not murder. So we're to preach and teach God's truth and not decide, well, if you decide that you want to murder your baby, that's okay. And of course, they wouldn't put it that way because they may think that sounds a little bit harsh, but that's reality.
No, that is the truth. That is exactly what we're... So, you know, we're disproportionately, as African Americans, we're disproportionately affected by murdering our children. Mm-hmm. But even though Caucasian people have more abortions than any other group, we are murderers and we must repent. And I think if there's anything to be heard today, it's if you had an abortion, you have to repent. If you contributed to anybody having an abortion, that means you gave them the money, you gave them a ride, you picked them up, whatever role you played in that person successfully having an abortion, we have to repent. And when we repent, when we do what 2 Chronicles 7:14 said, if my people who are called by my name, we cannot point the finger at unbelievers. We have to take care of ourselves first. He said, first your obedience, and then I will take care of the rest. And so we're calling the body of Christ. We're calling people who profess to be Christians. We're calling believers to repentance this morning. Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing. Mm. It's time to repent. And that's right. Repented. Repentance means to turn away from that which you did. Confession is to say I did it, but repentance is to not do it anymore. But we go a step further when we are true disciples of Jesus Christ. We don't only repent ourselves, we begin to help other people repent.
That's right. And so in your own journey, so you had said that you didn't believe in abortion, so why do you feel like you chose to go down that road anyway?
Because I had no substance, no biblical substance in me. I was a mediocre Christian, which most Christians in America are average or less. Mm-hmm. If you're an undiscipled Christian, that means you don't know what you're supposed to be doing. And I was an undiscipled Christian. I was raised in the church. I've been in the church all of my life. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until I actually left Planned Parenthood and the Lord saved me for real. Mm-hmm. I wasn't just a churchgoer. He saved me. And the Bible says, no man can come unto me unless I draw him. Mm-hmm. So you have to be drawn by God to even confess him as your Lord and Savior. And when he saved me, I asked him, I said, Lord, if you knew you were going to save me, why would you let me work at Planned Parenthood? He said, I'm going to use it for my glory. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what that meant. It's been 20 or so years since I've worked at Planned Parenthood. But I promise you, I am a lethal threat to Planned Parenthood. Because I know the inner workings of the organization. I know the strategies that they use. I know Planned Parenthood inside and out. I was very good at what I did back then. And now I am very good at being a true follower of Yeshua. And I know exactly how to help people understand how can you be pro-choice is because your relationship isn't right with God. That's what that means. If you're professing to be a Christian and you're saying you are pro-choice, it's because you do not understand God. When he opened the eyes of my understanding, he said to me, abortion is not acceptable under any circumstances in my sight. And it was that caused me to go from being pro-choice to pro-life. I shifted instantly. Everything in me came into alignment with the truth.
Well, I'm going to ask Vivian, if you'll take time specifically to pray for believers that are listening, because there are some who may be hearing this for the first time, and it's shaking them up, to be quite honest. Because they're thinking, well, I thought it was okay to be pro-choice and be a believer as well. Because sadly, you have lots of believers that fall in that camp. Would you pray for them, for their hearts and their minds to be open to the Word of God and the Spirit of God to speak to them, speak truth to them?
I absolutely will. So, Father God, we come to you today as a united body. Pastor Parker, Rick, and I. Representing the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You said a triple cord is not easily broken. And when two agree, anything we ask in your name, God, you said you would do. I lift up every single person, believer or non-believer, who's listening to this broadcast, who is in conflict about the issue of pro-choice and pro-life. I thank you, God, that your word is true and that you do not lie, that you would open the eyes of their understanding like you did me. You were compassionate. You were merciful. Even after I had contributed to people having an abortion by affiliating myself with Planned Parenthood, I thank you, God, that you would give them an understanding that death, murder is not acceptable in any situation or any circumstance. I thank you, God, that you would connect them with somebody that would help them mature in their faith. It is immaturity that causes us to do things that we should not do, that are not pleasing in the sight of God, that causes us to not be a sweet aroma in his nostrils. You know how I felt in the confusion that I was in, God. I ask, Lord, that you would clear the fog, that you would give them an undeniable understanding of the truth of your word, oh God. And Lord, I ask that you would begin to impact the leadership deficit. Yes. I call it a deficit because when 2.2 billion people profess to be Christians and 1.7 billion of them have never been discipled, that means there's a leadership deficit of righteous, holy, Spirit-filled believers that can lead the sheep. Sheep need to be led. And so we thank you, God, that you would begin to raise up people in this time and in this season. And anybody who's listening, oh God, who's had an abortion, I thank you, God, that all you want them to do is to repent, to turn away, to confess their sins one to another, that they might come into righteous relationship with you. And we thank you, God, that you are faithful to do it. There's nobody listening that God is not willing to draw you closer to him. And so we thank you, God, that it is done. In the name of your son, Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Vivian.
Now,
Vivian, just a question I want to ask you this specifically. So would you say that you received Christ, that you were saved at a relatively early age and just were not discipled and didn't grow up? Or do you feel like you weren't really saved, but at a certain point in time you got saved and began to be discipled? Which would you say was true for your life?
I would say that I wasn't really saved, but I would also say that I wasn't spirit-filled.
Mm-hmm.
Because I made a confession of faith multiple times.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And I believe my confession of faith was real. And I was not discipled, and I was not nurtured, and I was not empowered in the things of God. Mm-hmm. So I believe there are people who are saved. They're not spirit-filled, so
Vivian,
they don't have
I'm going to have to jump in here, and we're going to pick up right there on the other side of the break. Our phone guest today is Vivian Phillips. She's the author of the book, Revival in the Pews. We'll be right back. Music from Covenant Church, Let My Heart Dance. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Vivian Phillips. She's the author of the book, Revival in the Pews. Vivian, if you'll pick up with the point, the very important point you were dealing with, that many a believer are very, very immature believers. Would you pick up where you left off there?
Well, when I talk about the book, Revival in the Pews, it really is the pain that I experienced as a struggling Christian trying to figure out how to be someone that was pleasing to God was so painful that I thought, I got to write about this so that anybody else who's feeling the way that I'm feeling will have they won't have to go through what I went through. Because there's a very structured process, line upon line, precept upon precept, that God has put into his word that helps us mature. So what happens is we have a lot of saved people who are not spirit-filled and not mature, which we call carnal Christians. Mm-hmm. That's the reason why the body of Christ looks so bad. Mm-hmm. Because we are filled with carnal Christians. And so we have to move from we have to move from being carnal to being spirit-filled and mature. That means we have to grow up. Mm-hmm. And so we have a lot of babies, and if you want to grow up, You have to get spirit filled. It's called a second baptism. You can look it up in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. You have to get spirit filled because it's the endowment of the power of God that helps us fulfill everything, that helps us walk in alignment with the Ten Commandments. It helps us to forgive people. It helps us to walk in the gifts that He's given us. We have to be spirit filled. And so this is a perfect time, because if you're not spirit filled, then chances are you're in the midst of COVID and you're living in fear. Well, the Bible says, I've not given us a spirit of fear. But if nobody's trained and discipled us in that regard, then you have no other option but to be fearful. And so we're calling believers into maturity, and we have to move fast. And then the Spirit of God will come, the power of the Holy Spirit, and I believe it will accelerate this process. Mm-hmm. So the book, Revival in the Pew, is the tool. It's a tool to help you. I mean, I'll give you a perfect example. I have a friend, my best friend in the whole world. I had been trying to get that woman to read her Bible for years and years and years. She read my book, and that woman reads her Bible every single day now. Mm-hmm. It's the power of the Holy Ghost that did that. She doesn't go to church like I went to church, but she went to church. Mm-hmm. But they weren't teaching what was necessary for her to begin to pick up a Bible. Mm-hmm. So now she picks up her Bible. She talks to me about the Word of God, things that never happened before. Well, and that's where we have to get to. We mm-hmm. have to come past being pew warmers. You see, we don't even warm the pews anymore because the church is not there. I think mm-hmm. it's symbolic of what the prophetic word, revival in the pews, that was written 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I believe this is a revival.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Vivian, something I would say alongside what you're sharing about, that it's something that on a pretty consistent basis that we seek to do here on this broadcast. Like, I use the three letters of the word that make up an acronym, PRO, P-R-O, three basic building blocks for discipleship. P refers to our prayer life. R refers to our reading and studying God's Word. O refers to obedience. Now, the reality is it's the Holy Spirit that empowers and helps us to do these things. But
yes,
when a believer is taught that prayer is to be a critical part of their life and they ask God to help them to become a person of prayer, the Spirit of God will step right in and help them. And as they become, on a pretty regular basis, we challenge believers to set the goal of reading like three chapters in the Bible a day, which is a good basic spiritual meal. They
yeah.
start reading the Word every day. God's Word is what matures us, strengthens, and nourishes us in our walk with Him. And of course, O refers to obedience. Apply what you learn. And of course, you've touched beautifully on these in one form or another as we've talked. And it's so critical for believers to talk that if we're going to be obedient to the Lord, we must live this life as a disciple, and we're to teach others to do the same. And
absolutely.
So, again, knowing the basic building blocks of the faith are important. And so being people given to prayer, believers given to reading and studying God's Word, and being given to obeying what we learn, those are basic building blocks of discipleship. We can live it, and we can use it to make other disciples as well. So I want to ask once again, would you pray for believers to really grasp the need for us to be empowered by the Spirit of God to be doing just that, living it and making disciples as well?
Yes. So Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, for every time, every moment we have to come boldly to your throne. You said, come boldly to your throne,
yes,
that you would find mercy, that you would find help in a time of need. We need you, Father, more now than we have ever needed you.
Yes,
we have
Jesus.
So many people struggling, trying to maintain their households, trying to keep their jobs, trying to provide for their children, trying to deal with the educational situation that is going on in the midst of COVID and the church not being out and all the confusion that's happening around the political process. God, we just ask, Lord, that you would visit, that you would inhabit the prayers of your people.
Yes, Lord.
We ask that if you are a believer, God wants us to call upon him in a time of need. Be like the woman with the issue of blood, pulling on the hem of his garment. Be like, wrestle with him like Jacob,
yes,
until
Lord,
he
Jesus.
Blesses you. God wants to see you prosper, even in the midst of the chaos and the confusion. I thank you, God, that your word says, no man calls,
yes,
upon me and I do not answer. He will answer you. I thank you, Lord, that you hear the cries of your people. You said, I hear them even before they ask. I thank you, Lord, that you would protect the minds and the hearts,
yes,
of the people in the midst of this scenario, that you would give them a hunger and a thirst for your word,
you,
that you would,
Jesus,
help them in this time like only you can do. You said,
thank
Jesus, that you are the greatest teacher. And so I thank you, God, that you are doing something supernaturally, something miraculous. We call on the fire of God
thank
to
you,
begin
Lord,
to move on the people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Vivian. You
know,
I want to ask if you'll, I want to ask you if you'll touch briefly on one of the passages that we read earlier. I like to often read the story of Shipra and Puah found in Exodus 1, the story we read at the beginning of the broadcast. There are two, what many would call obscure women, who only are found in that one story in all of the Word of God. However, I would say that they're wonderful role models for believers and followers of God for all time, because they knew a truth that it was wrong to kill the babies, and they boldly stood by it, even after being given directions by what would be considered by many the most powerful ruler in the world at that time. He told them, kill the baby boys. But it says they feared God, and so they refused to do what the Pharaoh said because they held God in higher esteem than they did Pharaoh. And at some point, Pharaoh realized, well, they're not doing what I said. And how intimidating it could have been for most people when the most, what was considered the most powerful ruler in the world, calls you in before them. And of course, God gives them the wisdom and the grace to outsmart Pharaoh. He has to change his whole strategy to try to do what he wants to do, because these women didn't cooperate, because they stood for what they knew to be right. And for all time, God has and he'll continue to use his people who will hear his word, hear his truth in their heart, and obey it. And so they're basically, again, a basic ingredient of being a disciple is learn the truth and live the truth. And God will use you no matter who you are or where you find yourself as well. So, but any thoughts about that powerful story in Exodus 1?
I think that story is amazing, Pastor, because it really is a picture of the life of a believer, a true believer.
Mm-hmm.
A true believer does not follow the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
A true believer goes against the grain.
That's
a true
right.
believer, it says, not my will, but thy will be done.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are a picture of that. And I think part of discipleship is understanding that that becomes your way of life,
mm-hmm.
that the Lord is calling us to be the exception, not the norm.
Mm-hmm.
He said that we are a peculiar people. That means we stand out.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you begin to mature in your walk with the Lord, the what becomes uncomfortable, which is being different from everybody else, becomes comfortable,
mm-hmm.
because you know you're pleasing to God.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to encourage believers to know that, you know, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, this is not about being liked.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the issue of having a man-pleasing spirit,
mm-hmm.
is something that is a big issue in the church. And when you are spirit-filled, when you read your word, when you are being discipled, it's easy to not walk in that vein.
Mm-hmm.
And so God is calling us to rise up, and he will give you the strength. They got the power, just like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel in the lion's den. Everybody who rose up by the power of God, not in their own strength.
Mm-hmm.
And so he needs warriors. He needs obedient servants. He needs the willing, because there's something innately in us, because we were created in the image and likeness of God. There's something innately in us that tells us, no, this is wrong. Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And that is so critical that we understand that if we're genuinely going to follow Jesus Christ, yes, it will mean sacrificial obedience.
Yes.
It will mean bold obedience. Yet so often we live in a culture where people will run towards what's convenient, what does not challenge us, what doesn't put us in a difficult situation, what, in other words, the path of least resistance, and you can't follow Jesus that way.
No, you can't. You can't. It's a very narrow path. He said the path to destruction is wide, and many go there.
Mm-hmm.
The path to life is narrow, and you have to find it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just there. You got to find it.
Mm-hmm.
And you find it through your obedience. As we obey one thing after the next, it takes us down the path of righteousness and life.
Mm. And, you know, I think it's so powerful for us to recognize God has given us the book we call the Bible. It's an instruction manual for all of life. It teaches us who Jesus is and how to follow him. But and life is an open book test. But we're to read it and live it, you know.
That's right. That's right. And it's so wonderful. I can't imagine if he didn't do this, if he didn't draw me unto himself. I'm a better person because of my relationship with the Lord. I'm somebody I never imagined I could be.
Mm-hmm.
Because of my relationship with him, because of walking in righteousness, because of truth, because of yielding my will to his.
That's right. That's right. And so it's just critical that we understand then that genuine disciples means we're going to be people who know Jesus and who passionately follow him, not passively, but passionately follow
yes.
him and sacrificially follow him as well. We're called to live a life of sacrifice. Well, Sister Vivian, our time is gone. It ran by so fast, but thank you again. Share with our listeners your website one more time.
GetDiscipledNow.com. Get that book today.
All right. And again, her book, Revival in the Pews. Thank you, Vivian, for being with us, and God bless you as you continue
Pastor.
To serve him. All right. And thank you for being a part of our listening family. I would encourage you, please do try to get the book our author has written, Vivian Phillips wrote, Revival in the Pews. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.